So, what's the plan?
Right. We take Pete's car, we drive over to Mum's, we go in, take care of Philip.
I'm so sorry, Philip.
Then we grab Mum, we go over to Liz's place, pole up, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Why have we got to go to Liz's?
Because we do.
She dumped you.
I have to know if she's all right.
Why?
Because I love her.
All right, gay. I'm not staying there, though.
Why not?
If we hole up, I want to be somewhere familiar, I want to know where the exits are, and I want to be allowed to smoke.
OK. Take Pete's car, go round Mum's, go in, deal with Philip.
Sorry, Philip.
Grab Mum, go to Liz's, pick her up, bring her back here, have a cup of tea, and wait for all this to blow over.
Perfect.
No, 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 wait, we can't bring her back here.
Why not?
Well, it's not exactly safe, is it?
Yeah. The state of it.
Where's safe? Where's familiar?
Where can I smoke?
Take car, go to Mum's, kill Phil.
Sorry.
Grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yeah, boy!
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name.
So, hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Basketball's back!
Yes!
Oh, no more.
I'm David.
Am I the MLS?
No, it's not. I don't like that at all. And by the way, it's an MLS.
Yeah.
Thank you. This moment good. Sponsored by Grammarly.
That's very good.
Actually, weirdly enough, over the weekend I went to an MLS game. I went to go and see.
Yeah, I saw you post a picture somewhere.
I went to go and see one of the playoff games. They were playing DC United, which means I got to see Wayne Rooney's final game in America.
Football has playoffs?
Yes, they have playoffs because it's an American league. And obviously, they have playoffs.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. Right?
It's not real football. It's like the NFL, but worse.
But I have to tell you, my favorite thing about this was Renata came with me. And as we were watching the football.
Sorry, who were we talking about?
Come on.
Oh, come right. on. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
As we were watching the football, after no... The leagues have been going on for a while. She looks over at me and she says, "I see it now. Like, this looks like amateur football."
Wow. Wow. Mm.
Throw in that flame. That
is, boy. Boy, that's mean.
Did the football stop and Rooney just walk up to her and be like, "You make me sad."
Yes.
Toronto made Rooney sad.
But hold on. I thought Rooney hadn't gone to Derby. Is Derby he going to, right?
Yeah, he's left now. Like, the playoffs, he was still with the team until the season ended, and his season ended on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know why I thought he went from the start of the English season.
Right? No, it was like a pre-agreed contract, and I think it's like January he's registered to play, so...
Oh, I get you, in the January window.
Yeah.
So he gets a holiday.
You know what? Derby's one of the worst football teams in Premier League history, right? Sorry, Derby's statistically the worst Premier League team.
I mean, Damian, you're not wrong, but Manu is trying to beat that record.
You guys almost beat Liverpool last week.
Here's what I'll say.
And that was very upsetting.
Liverpool didn't play particularly well, but... This is the first match I've seen from Manu players where I went, "Oh, that's right. They have good players.
Mm-hmm. It's like, remember the first game of the season against Chelsea where everyone was like, well, I guess they can score goals.
Yeah. Yep.
Haven't but seen I them treat, since here.
I love that. All first games like preseason.
I love that first game, right? Everybody was like, well, I guess Man U's off to trot.
Right.
And well, Chelsea's I guess trash. Chelsea's trash. And Chelsea's as we no expected. One. And now we're third. Fourth.
Yeah.
We're third on points, but fourth.
But your team knew what you were. You're like, yeah. We're young teams and we're just going to play harder than everyone.
Damian, my £70 million signing don't get no game because of fucking 5-year-olds.
Yeah. It's not looking very good.
And the sad thing is, he's not playing bad either.
Mount is just better.
He came on in the last game this week and he didn't score the goal.
Right.
But he set it up.
It's hard to say you're better than Mount because he doesn't look it.
Yeah, he does not. Hopefully him get good though. He had a lot of potential, and he's still not looking bad. Hopefully.
Father Abraham.
But anyways,
I suppose we'll have leapfrogs and shit.
I refuse to call him his real name. Me and my mother have been singing Father Abraham every single time he scores a goal because we're idiots.
That joke never came to me. But yeah.
My aunt heard us, and she's just like, "What are you idiots doing?" And many goals of Father Abraham, and I am just the entire weekend.
Andrew, should I pull out his headphones?
I mean, all it will be is I'll just go to bed at some point.
Yeah. I've been deliberately avoiding talking about this movie. It's what I am.
I can tell. I mean, I helped a little bit, but this week...
Uh-huh.
We're here to discuss a film. A film from Japan. A film from Japan that has zombies in it. A film from Japan with zombies in it that was all done in one cut.
That's the gimmick.
The name of this movie is called One Cut of the Dead. It is a story.
Didn't get that?
It's a story.
Literally watch this movie twice. Did not get that.
Oh my goodness.
Does this make you like it even more?
I hate it even more.
Follows a director who's attempting to make a low-budget zombie movie, and in the process of making a low-budget zombie movies, real zombies appear, and the cast is under attack, and the director takes this impetus to then film the cast under attack by real zombies. And that is the film that we are going to be talking about today. And I think we can get into spoilers a little later because there's a lot to go on with this movie. But I had come to this movie just hearing about the ridiculousness of it. Like, as I described that plot to you, Damien, doesn't that sound like the right type of ridiculous?
Yeah, it sounds like my type of Amzels.
Right? And it's the thing where you guys know that Douglas is attacked by the French. Damien will come to us with some grimy Korean films. I have to pick some dumb Japanese things for us to watch throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that caught me. I was ensnared by the stupidness of that premise. This movie, sadly though, doesn't quite live up in my mind to the stupidness of this premise. Like, if I want to be really generous to this movie, I can talk about all of the really small, very insular things that I love about this movie. Like how much I love the director in this movie. He just goes off. And I adore watching him. I love his wife. Who is the makeup artist in this movie? Especially later on in the story, something happens that I just find remarkably amazing, like as the dumbest of jokes that I love. And I just love how how bad it looks for the most part. Like, you see this movie and you can see they've put it through a filter of just video streaming nonsense. Like, as if this movie, as you're watching it, feels like it was recorded on VHS and you're watching it back. And I sort of like how that feels. But, always standing, I'm not going to lie to Damien's face or to his microphone, because that's what I'm lying to. Because this movie...
The microphone's at my face.
Yep, so. It is. this movie is just meh at best, but really it's just not good. It's not worth the time, and this movie is a 90-minute movie. Which is weird, because I also really love the structure of this movie as to what they did, and we can get into a little bit more, because that involves like talking about the back half of this movie that, let's say, is not really the premise I described, but it's a lot more. And yeah, I want to kind of leave it there for the moment and have Douglas give his 2 seconds of telling me how much he loved this movie.
Sure. So, I mean, this movie is infused with a nutty energy, a sly sense of satire, and a surprising emotional undertow in its final third. Writer, director, editor Shinjiro Ueda's joyous flick takes a standard low budget horror.
Oh my god!
Oh,
Jesus!
So, just to let you know, we're dying over here because I'm literally reading a review from another website.
So good,
because Wait,
can you please tell me which website and whose review that is?
Somebody's not cutting this out and needs to fucking credit.
It is from wikipedia.com.
This is from Mr. Empire Wiki. And it's by Ian Freer.
Mm-hmm. He gave it 4 stars.
He gave it, yeah. He was
psychopath.
He was very... No, the reason why... Actually, I can't tell you the reason why. But let's just say I haven't watched this movie. I'll watch it later. I'll watch it when it's finished. But hearing Damien talk about this, hearing you admit, I don't know if I'm going to watch this movie.
You can start the process of not watching this movie.
So yeah, I did not watch this movie. It, on the face of it, sounds like something I would appreciate. However, you guys clearly are telling me not to watch this.
Douglas, this movie is bad. If the Wayans brothers had made this movie, you'd have gone, yeah, this is about what I expected from this movie. It's ungood. It really does feel like they saw other zombie comedies and went, we can't do that. As I said, I didn't realize it was one take.
Other zomcoms. Yeah, okay.
Again, you're on a roll for the last couple of weeks. You see this and you're just like, but why though? And then you're like, oh, you guys thought that the gimmick of shooting this all in one take would make it better for this trash movie, but it doesn't. I found about 30 minutes in, there's like an arm on the floor and most of the cast is convinced it's a prop, and there's other people that's like, nah, son, this is a zombie. And that window of time is like the best part of the movie. But that's not a good part of the movie. Like, watching this movie is painful because they could have made a better, like anyone, I think, could have made a better. It's not often that you watch something and you're just like, if someone gave me this project, I could have come up with something better. Like, this shouldn't be the result. Like, it feels, I guess that's the look they were going for. It feels cheap and grimy, but outside of that, it feels cheap and grimy. like they're parodying something, but they didn't do a good enough job to make the parody. Like, they're just what this movie feels like is bad video games, where a video game will look at a genre or whatever and go, all right, let's make this video game to poke fun at that genre. But because you've done that, and because you still have to play the game, playing the game is still bad, so it defeats the purpose. That is what this movie is. They're like, we can do this and poke fun at zombie fiction, but the thing you made is bad, and so no, it is no longer fun. It's not Shaun of the Dead, which did the same thing but was awesome. This is just not good. And Andrew said it's 90 minutes. It sure as shit didn't feel like 90 minutes. And I, as I said, I watched this movie again today because, boy, I had a lot of time. And watching it a second time, like, it truly didn't. Like, you know, I watched it and I'm just like, I'm not getting anything else out of it. Like, I shouldn't have done this a second time. It was bad the first time, and somehow it continues to be bad. And, like, Andrew alludes to some stuff that happens in the latter part of the movie that's kind of clever, but kind of clever in a bad movie. And it's not, remember when The Rock threw the horse in that movie? And you guys are like, Damian, watch this movie because The Rock throws a horse. And I went, all right, I'll watch this movie. I need to see this. Right? That movie's terrible. But The Rock threw a horse. There's no Rock throwing a horse in this movie. What's the name of that movie? Troy?
All right. You know, I'm searching for The Rock throws a horse. Oh. I can't remember what movie that is. But now that you say it. Yeah.
What's the name of that movie?
But that movie sucks. Troy.
Yeah. Was it Troy?
I think it was just called Troy.
Yeah, it's trash. The movie's trash. And this movie.
And the thing about this movie, as you kind of get to Damien, is the premise of it sounds so stupid and so fun that you want to root for it.
That's why I like that movie. Sorry, go ahead.
That you want to root for it to be good. So you watch this movie and you're like, okay, I see you. But what if we like made this into a 40-minute short film? Could we like edit out the nonsense and like get it to be good? And honestly, with that thought out loud, I'd be willing to try it if the guy actually did that. If he had really done this project thinking that RT has to use his time efficiently, because I think it's just that he doesn't pack it tightly enough with stuff. Because like the middle section is very not great. It's really the first third and the last third that seems to have the best stuff. Not to say that it is wall-to-wall good, it's just, it has stuff in it, you know?
Maybe for me, by the time I got to the last third of the movie, I was already just checked out. Because now that I'm thinking about it, there are some clever things in the final act, but my overwhelming sense of this movie is this movie.
And it makes sense because this movie does feel very much like that type of movie where if you haven't been onboarded perfectly in that first third, then no matter how much anything else comes at it, and this movie really doesn't give you a lot even after that first third, that you're just going to be like, well, why couldn't I just watch only the first third and just be done with it? But yeah, this one is rough, and I kind of want to mention quickly like all the other things going on in this film, because I know Douglas isn't going to watch this. He's going to find this interesting nonetheless. So for anyone listening, if you haven't seen this movie yet and you care that much, it's available on Shudder. Go watch it now and come back. But you've already heard where we are going with this, so be forewarned. So the thing about this movie is that
four times.
Mm-hmm. What? No.
No, it's beef. Or one.
Okay.
You know, like a horror movie, you warn them before they go in. Don't go in there. Then they go in there and die. That's their problem at that point. So, as I said, the story of this movie is about the filmmaker making this horror film. That story is basically the first 30 minutes of this movie. Because you're at that point watching the film he's making. And then immediately at that 30-minute point, the movie breaks. Where it is no longer that movie. And then it switches to a month before when the people are pitching him this idea to make this movie. And you get to go through all of the pre-production craziness that goes on in this film, which really isn't that interesting. Like, there is really no funness.
Reason for that to be in the movie, that is correct.
Like, it feels like the most empty section of the movie. And it's kind of insane. Like, I think the only reason it exists and is to kind of show us the relationship between him and his family, right? Him and his wife that used to be the actress and him and his daughter that is the now aspiring filmmaker. But that could have been cut down to like a 2-minute just block of movie and you'd have been fine. You'd have gotten everything you needed to. Or at the very least, like down to 5 minutes of explaining how he got this project. And then the last third of this movie, you actually get to watch from the production side that movie you saw in the first 30 minutes. So you get to see a little bit more lunacy that happens behind the scenes as things are going poorly in this thing, which actually was a live proposed as a live television broadcast done in one entire cut. So they couldn't stop because it was live on TV. So you see one of the actors who is playing a production person that turns into a zombie gets drunk, and so someone has to go out and like lift him up to kind of make him pretend to be a zombie, which is why he looks so awful as a zombie. Then there's a whole other section where one guy kind of has diarrhea, and there's that. But my favorite pieces of this whole thing has to do with the story of the wife. The story of the wife who plays. The makeup artist by the time the film is being made, and how she kind of, as they say, eventually they're like, she gets too into her roles and starts getting too into it, and so much so that someone has to headlock her to like let her die in the story that they're filming, but then 20 minutes later she just pops up for no reason alive, and it just looks hilarious in the first third of the movie when you see that happen, when you see the woman jump up alive for no reason and then she just drops down again, kind of like she realized, oh, I'm dead, but then you find this whole other thing going on in that. And there's some fun bits in that last third, but it's just not enough to kind of win you back, and it's kind of sad is all. Like, it just feels like an idea that was a weird cool idea but just never made it to good at any real point in this movie, and that's sad for me because I was kind of looking forward to this one.
You spent a lot more time trying to like this movie than I did. It also doesn't help that this is a foreign language movie. When it's in another language and it's bad, I think it irritates me more because I have to do too much work. I think that might be true. I think I might get more annoyed when something foreign language is bad.
When you can't pull up your phone and start using your phone while you listen to the movie anymore.
Because, I don't know, I assume that if it gets to me in the West, it should be one of the good ones. Like, it should be vetted enough that by the time it gets to me, it's good. So when it's not good, I'm just like, are you guys, like, what is happening here? I was not amused by this movie at all. The last 2 weeks have been rough for me. Not for Douglas. Douglas, I'll stop watching this movie. That's just like, I know I have to do this podcast, but I could also
not watch these movies and still do the podcast, as it turns out. Like, they won't kick me out. even when I pick the movie, they'll just keep me on. Like, I thought I would at least have to watch these movies, but apparently I don't. So, two thumbs up for podcast.
But yeah, this movie, don't watch this, Douglas. It's sad. Like, but Damien, tell me, yes, I'm wrong in thinking this. If someone put in the work and cut this down, mm-hmm, to a 35-minute thing, there's good enough stuff in there for that, right?
I like the premise, but watching this movie, I'm like, I could give this to Andrew and Andrew could make me a better movie out of this. Like, it's weird when you get a premise so good that when you get the actual movie, you're just like, anyone should be able to make a better movie. And when they do it, you're just like, it's there. Just execute. And they just didn't. I'd like to see a better director do this. Take this premise and run with it. I mean, give it enough time, it will make its way to America soon enough, and someone will do that. But, and also this movie, like, it could have been like a legit comedy. They could have like played it specifically for jokes. But there's times, I don't know if you felt this, Andrew, like they were trying to make it like a real movie, and I don't appreciate that.
I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to go for like this serious version of comedy where like every character is so deep into the thing that, yeah, it becomes funny to see people so invested in it, which is why I think I loved the guy who played the director so much.
Right.
Because he went full on with it and I appreciated that so much. But then I think really what kills this movie more than anything else, like, while like it's never like at a high level, like that middle section when you just kind of have the business people in there,
yeah,
like they had no energy and it just killed it completely. Like, I could envision where something is done with that middle area where it kind of picks up a bit more that you could lead into the rest of the movie, but it's just not enough. And like everybody else kind of worked out, but no, like,
well, Tom Papoose, right, Douglas?
Yep,
good man. No one should, except for Douglas, no one should.
Douglas, please watch this and movie. Douglas,
only out of spite.
Yeah,
right,
because this is the second week in a row sticking this shit too far. So if you're not named Douglas,
no, what if it's someone else named Douglas?
I mean, that's on you.
Okay.
You had time enough to change anyway. Like, I can't help you with that. So you problem.
So yes, my apologies. Mm-hmm. It sounded dumb. It turned out to be very dumb.
Speaking of apologies, I have some re-reviews to talk about.
Interesting.
And then we have some, specifically two TV shows that all of us need to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Douglas, you remember I told you that Andrew saw The Lion King and it was trash. Mm-hmm. And I saw The Lion King and it was trash. And
Damien, what are you about to say?
I watched The Lion King again, yes, with family. No young people, which is weird. It's just four old ass people watching The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quadrupling those films. Garbage. We all watched that movie. And what you saw, I didn't see this the first time because I watch it by myself because I'm a lonely, sad man. when you watch it with people, what you see is people finding every instance where they can sing the songs and enjoy the parts of the OG Lion King. And then are in a state of confusion the entire time when the parts that aren't the everything they change is just people going, why would they change that? And Rafiki is the best part of the Lion King. He's a ninja baboon.
Makes sense. That's and Steven Mnuchin, right?
Sure. And he's not in this new Lion King. Like, he's there, but he's there towards the end. And there's a point where he picks up his staff and it's like this oh shit moment. And I wanted to punch the entire screen. And everyone in the house is just like, why would... Because when I saw it the first time, I had Andrew's review in my head. So I was just like, oh yeah, they took out all the whimsy. But no, it was a choice. I was like, you know, because it's real animals, they can't really do it. But no, the Timon and Pumbaa sections are all the way whimsical. Where the fuck up is everywhere. It is this sanitized, shitty version. That Beyonce song. There's a Beyonce song when they're running back.
Don't worry. I know that these movies are bad, but I will eventually watch this. It and sucks. We can have a Douglas, real good time
Douglas,
bashing it.
It is trash. I, like, watching the faces of my family, just the confusion. It's like, why change that? Also, the hyenas aren't fun.
Quick question, Damien.
Which,
is,
who did that?
Is New Lion King bad enough to be a how did this get made level movie?
No, because the reason we think all of these is because we've seen and internalized the old Lion King. Like, it's one of the best movies that have ever been made. And we've seen it so much that all of, like, the Lion King has been turned into a musical. Like, it was on Broadway and all of that. Like, people genuinely love all of that shit. And so whenever you change anything for us, we're just like, why the fuck would you change? Like, I think I'd have accepted a shot-for-shot remake of the cartoon one just with the real animals. Just do all the things that you need to do to get it done. Because who cares? And I think I'd have been happy. But this one, you're just like, you guys are changing shit that didn't need to be changed. The songs are shorter, the whimsies. Like, it's this sanitized, terrible version. Also, Chewie is not as good as Jeremy Irons.
Yes, Jeremy Irons is amazing. How is Chewie not? I mean, Chewie, to be fair, he's not Jeremy Irons. But he is amazing in his own right.
Yeah, no. I love Chewie. But when you see Scar, and then the voice that comes out of it isn't Scar. It's like, you keep James Earl Jones because, of course. And Childish Gambino and Beyonce, who gives a shit.
You think he script and just read from that?
I don't even think... Yeah. I think they just took the audio recording. I don't think he did any work. Seth Rogen and whoever the fuck the other guy is.
Billy, as, to me, what's his face?
Right. That was fine.
Billy on the streets.
That was... Like, that was acceptable. Like,
Billy Eichner, I think, is his name.
It was an enjoyable enough, you know, facsimile of the thing that you like. But them shortening the songs and them changing some of the songs and, like, it's the first time someone made one of these that I watched and was, like, genuinely going... No. Like, usually I'll be ongoing listenings for children who gives a shit. This one, just give the children the cartoon. No one should see this. The movie I've come to truly apologize for, and Douglas, I apologize directly to you. We sat and watched Anna again. And now,
Anna. Okay.
And now that I knew what that movie was, and watch it again, knowing what the movie was, it's one of those. And it's fun.
Thank you.
This is a fun.
Thank you, Damien.
Stabby, stabby, punchy, punchy movie.
Stabby, yes. Stabby, punchy movie.
It's fun.
I did really like that movie.
Right? And even the storyline is like they jump around early.
Yeah, but that kind of sucks.
But then the rest, the second the half action, of the movie,
yeah, it makes up for it.
They actually, like someone said, stop doing that shit. And they focus and just explain away all the things that happened. It was fine. Like all the espionage things, all the backstabbing, all of it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Cillian Murphy is Cillian Murphy and everything.
Yep.
There's a scene where he just made love to Anna.
Speaking of Cillian Murphy, yes. Being Cillian Murphy.
I'm not Andrew asking Robinson. Him. I'm not asking him again. I'm sick and tired of him.
Andrew.
Nope, still haven't started.
Fuck you. He is like, he just talked to her and she left the room. And then he like makes a phone call to a sniper. Just like, this movie is terrific. This movie is terrific.
Yeah.
I need to apologize to Douglas and Luc Besson. I thought that movie was average. That movie is way better than average. It's not good.
No, it's not good. But it's nowhere near good.
It's fun.
And Damien, Helen Mirren.
Oh yeah, I mean, as I said it to you before,
yeah.
Helen Mirren is that person in every movie. At this point, they can just cut and paste clips of Helen Mirren from other movies into all future movies, and it'll be fine. So yes, I apologize for that. Now we pivot back to something truly awful.
Yep,
Living with Yourself is garbage.
Ooh, I've seen like 3 episodes, I think.
Yeah. As have I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what? It doesn't get any better. In fact, I would say it gets aggressively worse. I know you're not going to listen to me because that is how Netflix has built their platform. You'll need to get to the end. You're not just going to accept that on your homepage. There's like 3 episodes left of it. I get it. But guys, I tell you now. You can skip all that shit.
I actually it's think, not worth it. You know what's the weirdest thing that I felt watching that show? Is that I think Netflix has gotten better and better at creating the content to the point where they cut the episodes at the point where you're, even if you didn't like the show, you're like...
Right, you're like scratching.
They're like you want to press it one more because you need to know what happens next. So they cut it right at a cliffhanger point where you're like... Ooh, I need to know what happens next. Maybe it turns good.
Intro. Damn it. But don't.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I tend to agree with Damien. I think I'm 3 episodes in, but every time I watched it, here is how I watched it. I press play, I watch 1 episode, and I had to stop and do something else. Watch something else, go fucking clean out something, have some sort of mental refresher. And then I came back and I watched a 2nd episode. I had to stop. I watched something else, do something else, go out, fucking get a tan. I came back in and I watched a 3rd episode. And it's just, rinse and repeat.
You're doing too much work
for the show. For a show that isn't that good.
It's not good. It's bad. It is bad. It's bad TV.
Yep.
It's not a good TV and you should not watch it.
I was hoping for more whimsical Paul Rudd.
You won't get it. You've seen episode 1 is all the whimsy. It has the only joke in the show. That Tom Brady thing is the only joke that is in that show. And he and his wife and that dynamic...
So his wife, right, is the sister in the show I was telling you about with Sharon Horgan. I like her. She's funny.
Yeah. The show, though, is bad. Like, not good.
Yeah.
Just bad. Like, just bad. And I would like, I don't want anyone, like I really genuinely don't want you guys to waste the additional, I don't know why it would be like, it's 30 minutes episode, there's 8 episodes, So that's eight episodes, yeah. So it's a like lot. Yeah. So ooh, that's
I was thinking maybe only three
more. You're like that's a football match, and another football and half a football match, or one NFL match, or one basketball match, or both match of the days. Just don't waste that time watching that. Because
by the way, when is basketball going to fix how they tell time?
Never. This is America. America's. This is not all American sports have problems with telling time.
No. But what I'm talking about specifically is a quarter is 15 minutes. Not what is
a quarter 11? Is 12 minutes.
12?
Yeah.
No. Where's the extra 3 minutes gone to?
No, it's 12 minutes.
Where did it go to?
It goes to timeouts.
Anyway, you have movies
to and about. Ads. And the TV show I want all of us to talk about.
Before we get there. Cause
okay, you know exactly where we're going.
Okay.
So I
intercepted.
Think, so I think, first of all, Douglas, do you have anything you need to talk about?
Nothing major. I will say that...
besides the thing that Damon was about to mention.
No. Yeah. I'm not going to talk about that. What I will say is that I went on a bit of a purchasing spree with... the DVDs, the Blu-rays, the HD 4K shits.
Just Blu-rays.
And so I've watched a lot of movies that I've watched before.
As well you should.
Yeah. But I do want to focus on a couple of them. One, I'll just say it very quickly because I'm not allowed. I watched all of the before movies are great. But moving on from that, I'm going to focus on two things. One, I need to say that Rian Johnson is fucking amazing. Right? He's awesome.
I mean...
He's awesome.
There's some clangers.
Where? Oh, I don't know. I bought both The Brothers Bloom and Lupo.
Yes.
They're fucking awesome.
Did he do some movies after those?
Nope.
Oh, alright. Alright, fine. Well then, he's perfect.
Technically, he did Star Wars, but it's not his movie.
Right.
And also, I like that movie. Wait, do I like that movie? Yeah, I did like that movie.
He didn't do anything after that.
I don't believe so.
He has something coming out.
Yes, he does, which looks fun.
It's Rian Johnson. I'll watch anything he makes.
Yep, agreed.
Even Star Wars.
What if he made One Cut of the Dead?
The new trailer came out.
I have not watched
it. And people on the internet are acting like going crazy. They haven't seen the
trailers. I was so obsessed, right? When I was watching NFL last night and they were advertising the fucking trailer. They're like, ooh, hey guys, listen, halftime.
Yes.
It's the new Star Wars trailer. I was like, you know what? I'm not watching halftime. Goodbye. But yeah, Andrew, what you were saying? What you were going to say?
The only reason I was excited for that trailer was it let me know, Andrew, you can go and buy your Star Wars ticket now.
Yup.
Which I have.
Andrew, what? Never.
Anyway. I did want to talk about one last thing. And again, we've spoken about this already, but I just want to stress to Damian, because I'm pretty sure he has not watched this movie.
Okay.
I bought Booksmart and I watched it again. Damian, the only thing stopping me from watching it a third time immediately after was strong self-control, right? Yes. Willpower. I love that movie.
Douglas, I have that movie, and I was more than prepared to watch it over the weekend.
And yet you watched Lion King.
No, my family came over, and I have decided going forward that unless I buy a second good TV, I'm not watching movies on any other TV.
Damon, the sad thing about it, right, is it starts off strong. And you start to say to yourself, okay, cool. Well, it will soon get into its rhythm of, you know, mediocre stuff until the hits.
Yeah.
And then it continues strong. And you say, all right, they've done pretty well. But, you know, we know what this is. And then at every fucking turn, it surprises you. Now, I know I'm hyping this up like crazy. Right?
Douglas, I believe.
And I hope that I'm not messing it up for you. But
if it's anywhere near as good as you say, I think. Because I love the trailer. No. I saw the trailer and I was just like, but all right.
Even the trailer. I watched that trailer and I said, yeah, but really though?
Yeah, because, but now you're like, Damian, all the things you see in the trailer, it happens.
Yes.
And that is what I want.
Oh, I need to watch that movie now. It's my remote.
I agree with Douglas about Booksmart. That movie's amazing.
It really is.
Andrew,
you had Intercepted.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly talk about two things because I don't really want to go on them too long or anything, and I know we really want to talk about the other thing. I saw two new future movies. one is probably the most surprising thing I've ever seen, and the other is probably the most expected thing I've ever seen. Do you want to pick which one goes first?
Take the surprise first.
Surprise first. Zombieland 2, I actually kind of fucking likes.
Yeah.
But the internet disagrees.
I know. Okay. Like, it's weird to me because, like...
Didn't you like the first one?
I did, but at the same time, with every trailer I see of this movie, I watched it and I'm like, yeah, that was Zombieland, and I don't... that if that's what it was, maybe I don't like that movie anymore. Because it just kind of seemed tired. The comedy of it, the tone of it. But I really fucking enjoyed this movie. Like, it was a time.
The strength of that movie was the leads just being jerks to each other. Like, it wasn't the storytelling. So, I can see you going in there and having four really good actors. Just give you solid performances and you enjoy the movie. I can't see that.
On an aside, like one of the things in this movie, because you know they have to have a progression of zombies, is that their zombies have evolved and they like have different kinds of zombies that they talk about. Of course. They have
fire zombies. Right? Zombie 2.
They talk about this new unkillable zombie that you see them talk about, and Jesse Eisenberg is like, it's a Terminator. And you're like, that's the correct thing to call it. Later on in the movie, someone calls it a Bolt, meaning Usain Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
I was dying in the theater. Everyone else dead quiet. Like, you people are awful.
No one else. No, it's Canada. They can't laugh at it.
That's right. Remember, Canadians got 12 years a slave.
Out. Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, Zombieland 2. I actually pretty much enjoyed that movie. It's another fun ride. Right? All right. And they have a good amount of like callback jokes that work. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not going to be on anyone's list, but it was fun. The expected movie that I saw Parasite.
Oh, nice.
The new Bong Joon-ho movie. And guess what, guys? It is, as expected, one of the best movies of the year to have come out. It's really fucking good. It is hilarious. Basically, it's a story about a poor family who fraudulently find their way to all become employed to this wealthy family, which is basically run by a stupid woman. Mm-hmm. And they are just conning their way through the entire this movie. And it is a joy. It is also very Korean. And it's...
Revenge? So it's
your favorite.
Yeah, it's a Korean favorite.
Okay.
Right.
I would like one movie, please.
with an addition of more Korea.
Yes. You know what the favorite could have used? More Korea.
I don't want to talk too heavily on it because you guys need to go and watch this movie.
But yeah, we'll never see this movie.
No, at some point.
5 years from now.
You know, when Amazon gives it to you or something.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an Amazon movie, but still, who cares?
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Cool.
He said, you know what, Netflix? Don't worry, I don't need your money. I make good movies instead. Yeah. Oh boy.
I was seeing
cooking them.
I was seeing an interview recently where people were talking about Bong Joon-ho, and he was talking about when he made Snowpiercer. That movie went through the Weinsteins.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly. Where the Weinsteins were talking to him about cutting out shit, and they were they were like arguing over something arbitrary, like why is it fish that we need to watch this man cutting up? And Bong Joon-ho just looked to Harvey Weinstein and said, "It's very personal to me. My father was a fisherman. This shot means so much to me. It needs to be in the movie." And Harvey gives up and goes, "You know what? Fuck it. You can have it." Bong Joon-ho turns around and goes, "That was a fucking lie. I just wanted to leave my movie alone."
Yep.
And yeah.
No, actually, what I really liked about that article was that it wasn't just so simple. Apparently, after Bong Joon-ho said that, Weinstein said, "You know what? That moves me. I think family is really important. And you know what? Since it's your family, I agree. It should be in your movie." And that's when he said to the interviewer, "Yeah, I was just fucking lying." But I love that he conned Harvey Weinstein. Oh, Bong Joon-ho.
But yeah. Moving on. The one TV thing I know we all kind of want to get into, because I kind of mentioned it in the WhatsApp group, and I'm pretty sure everyone's seen this at this point, is Watchmen the TV show premiered on HBO this weekend. God, bye. With Regina King as, I don't even know what her superhero name is.
Black Mamba. It's a pretty good superhero name. You know, and Kobe Bryant was called that, right? I'm just thinking of Quentin Tarantino. I know.
But Kobe was he called himself
seriously?
Yep, the Black Mamba.
Oh, that's dumb.
And for years, that is the only association I had with it. But the second you said that's a superhero, they were like, that is a good superhero name. Yes. So, Watchmen.
Andrew.
I mean, there's Jamaican jokes I can make. Dance and artists for years saying that them no watch, man. It's so easy, but I'm above.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, you want me to start? Okay.
Yes.
So Watchmen. We all are fans of the film and the comic book, right?
Yes.
Right? We've enjoyed this thing. This is now the interpretation of Damon Lindelof taking it to 2019, and they have made this into a race story, with the police now hiding behind masks, and the Rorschach people have taken on the Rorschach mask, which it's obvious to me from how the episode went off that that's basically just a stand-in for the KKK. And there is a lot of things going on in this show, and a lot of it to me just felt really out there. And it's one thing for a show to be about, you know, the Black Lives Matter or police brutality or racism in Southern America. It's another thing where they guise it in the mystery of HBOification of TV series with superheroes, where it's like they want me to buy into it because I see cool superhero dark Watchmen-esque things, and you see things like the Knight, I've forgotten whatever the hell his superhero name is, the Night Owl's ship. Right, and you see, as Damian will call him, Scar, as Ozymandias in the castle, and you see even that ending shot of the episode with the falling of the blood onto Don Johnson's star, which kind of mimics the same image that's famous for the Watchmen, which is the image of the comedian's blood on the happy face button. It feels so much to me like they're using all of these things, but they're not using it in a really interesting way, but they might have a really good just story about something else. And it feels to me like maybe Douglas, you could tell me four yeah. episodes in that everything kind of cohesives, just kind of comes together in the right ways and it's on track. But yeah, so right now,
and Cambrias.
Right now, with that one episode done, like, it felt like there was just so much crammed in that a lot of it didn't really work for me. And I just felt more agaze at this film, at this, not even film, this TV show at this point than anything else. Like, yeah, felt like a magic trick.
So the weird thing about this, right? So I am not negative at all about this show. I still want to see where it goes. But oddly, I would agree at least with your last point. This first episode is very much a first episode. And it does something not very well, which is it tries to immediately get you to a place where you said to yourself, oh, this is not the real world, right? So it tries to throw a lot of information and a lot of things at you. And that's never a good thing, because it's, as you said, Andrew, it's cool or it's interesting to see all of these things. And if you watch them and you turn off your brain, you said to yourself, oh, masks, heroes, allegories for racism and other relevant social events. Look at all of this. These people are smart and are making important cinema, right? But what really they're trying to do is they're setting up a world. And so I do like this world that they're setting up. It's interesting. The thing that I immediately appreciated was from the word go, they tapped me on the shoulder and said, Douglas, this isn't the comic. This isn't the movie. This is not even in the same time zone, right? This is something completely different. So I have a world that I can play with. And I'm going to create this world where there's reminiscent thing. You know, there's a couple of people that I suppose at the moment we could call heroes. At least they're masked, right? There is serious unrest, right? Which is always a spark for interesting stories. There are, at least at the moment, at least two sides that can be portrayed. One is obvious. The one thing I'll say, which is, let's put this on the negative side, is that one is obviously bad, right? It's hard to argue that you can really get on the board or on the same side with white supremacists.
I mean, you said that.
I don't know if you've been watching the news of late.
I heard this Trump guy say something at one point.
That's right. There were good people on all sides.
I agree. Yeah.
But that always makes things better when you have two sides with differing views, but it's not something, neither side is somebody you can be like, you know what, fuck this guy. But we have a fuck this guy kind of side in this battle. Mm-hmm. But they've set up this fantastical world that they can use. That's actually something that Robots did much better. What's the thing called again? Jeffrey Wright and Anthony Hopkins. Another HBO show. Westworld.
Oh, Westworld.
Right? Westworld Robots. Actually did a lot better mm-hmm. than this movie, this TV show. Probably because they had a lot more focus. Right? These guys had a lot to work with and decided, I'm going to put in everything. Westworld was just like, yeah, it's a world in the West. Let's start there and branch out. But
that's so disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. The sad thing about Westworld, as much as I will still watch it, I've watched all of the seasons and I continue to hope. They did not take it to its fullest potential, I didn't think. Right?
Not even close.
Not yet. Now, this, we're at the stage where there's still potential. And we'll start there. It's a world with potential. The people were playing very hard. All of the sides.
Everyone playing hard. All right?
So, the show is beautiful. The action is actually pretty good too.
Game of Thrones money.
Yeah. Oh boy.
It's on display.
Actually, I really like, I like some of the futuristic things. So this has a feel of, and I suppose the actual original stuff had it as well. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word, steampunk.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's future, but there's some throwbacks right. as well. It's mm-hmm. it's a merge of the two.
It's a good mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things like the policeman having to call in and get somebody to remotely release his gun. I thought that was
Panda.
Really cool.
You mean Panda?
Like that to me is like one of the weirdest scenes in this show, because it's pushing it even further to the racial thing for me. Because even in mm-hmm. the future, where they have the scene with the black man as the police officer and the white supremacist as the guy being stopped, and you can see him being wary, the yeah. black man still has to ask permission to get his gun out mm-hmm. and still get shot first.
All right. So, and I think that's, you're taking...
But I see uh-huh. so much of everything in this episode to be all about that. So much to the point where they open it with that whole 15-minute sequence about the Tulsa massacre, uh-huh. right?
Yep.
And that is what they put forefront in your mind for that whole period, so that the rest of the episode, that's all I'm seeing.
Yep. And it definitely is very... I don't want to say race related, but there's tensions, charged. Right? And what I did like at first in that scene that you're talking about with the police officer is I kind of found it fun that they, in a way, switched things, or I thought they were going to switch things, in the sense that before you realize what was actually going mm-hmm. on, what you were watching was a black police officer pull over a white guy, and the white guy was fucking scared.
Right.
Right. The white guy was like, yo, just don't fucking shoot me, please. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously, you know, we can talk about, as you said, Andrew, the Black Lives Matter, the you know, what's going on in the world. But sadly, the policeman ended up getting shot. But I just like some of the details of it. Like, as I said, the gun thing.
Yeah, the world stuff. The world stuff is still yeah. interesting on its own. Like, I yeah. could take all of the world stuff and remove all of these other elements mm-hmm. that tell me what this world stuff is kind of invoking in how I'm interpreting the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk about the world stuff just as interesting world stuff, because I agree. Things like, just for example, the whole masked police thing. Right, and how that came about, because they talk about that as to the fact that eventually police got attacked and they're like, look, we're just going to mask up and no one knows, right? And all of that shit is, it's all the same shit from like all of the trailers that we've been seeing that have made us still interested in this thing, right?
Well, I mean, I didn't watch any of the trailers, but yeah, and it's interesting that, you know, police can't say who they are, what they do. It's almost like, you know, Ireland. I didn't even mean that as a joke.
Oh my god.
But back in the day, you know.
No, I know what you mean. But that is a incredible pull.
And so there's a lot of parallels, but I think, Andrew, and I wonder if you could admit this to yourself, but I feel like the difference between me and you is that we're almost watching, I don't want to say we're watching it for two different reasons, but you're looking hard at things that I'm not, right? So
you're ignoring the opening of the 20 minute opening of the show.
No, I see what they're doing. I've just decided. Well, okay, ignore. Yeah, I guess I'm ignoring it. But I'm not ignoring the fact that it exists. I'm ignoring that there is import to it, right? So you're looking at this thing and saying, They've created a world where they're talking about relevant social issues and how dare they, or how dare they get it wrong, or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. You've come to a conclusion. I'm not sure what that conclusion is.
So it's not about you, like you guys know, I come on this and we talk about this all the while, that when we talk about films and TV shows that do talk about social issues, I'm usually the one on here who's like, let's talk about social issues. And I find these things fascinating because it's not only is it, as Damien would like to point to me, probably one of the biggest discussion points in my life for seeing these social issues sometimes outside of the straight up headlines. But at the same time, it's where I feel I see a lot of perspective on it. But at the same time, this to me feels like one of those things where I don't know which came first here. Like, there are a lot of products where we see them, which are based on social issues, which we call horseshit on, where we can tell the generation of that product where the social issue is shoehorned in for the sake of marketability, of people saying this is the Black Lives Matter movie that you have to watch and care about. This show feels to me weirdly in that middle point where I can't tell if it's that the issues came first and they tried so hard on it, which is why it feels so strongly in what I'm seeing, mm-hmm. or if the comic book came first and they're now shoving the social in it, because it feels just muddled and mixed to me. Right. And that's kind of why I'm saying that, like, 3-4 episodes in, maybe it all works out.
And that's what I was about to say, is that so the difference for you is you've seen it and you're like, this is a problem, or something's going on here. Whereas I'm looking at it from another perspective, where I've realized what this really is, which is a confused first episode for a TV show that they have a lot to work with and have not figured out and didn't figure out how to introduce it correctly. Right? Yeah. And so it could be, Andrew, you could be right, and this could actually be the reason for this show. This show could be like, yo, I'm coming out here and I'm gonna Ava DuVernay the fuck out of this, right? Maybe that's what it wants to do. I hope not. I don't know. You know, that will make me very sensitive, or like take a serious look at whether I do actually like the show or not. It will make it hard for me to say, let's forget this and only focus on the shitty aspects of it. But I am essentially saying this is a muddled, I agree, it's not a good first episode from a story perspective. Right? They put way too much in there, and I think it's because they believe that there's way too much to do. And I'm hoping after 3 or 4 episodes, it will all even out. Kind of like my explanation to Damien about Booksmart, where you expect there to be this strong, just overabundance of craziness followed by a slow evening out. I think there'll be an evening out on this. In that time, though, this show's pretty. This show has fun action. And I will say to you that I'm very upset, and I hope there are some flashbacks, because how dare they get rid of Nash Bridges so early? How dare they?
He has the ranch to do, or some other cowboy type TV show / movie. It's weird that Andrew, like, I've done something that Andrew's the one that got me to start doing this with movies. I don't really do it with movies because they're such defined things. But with TV shows, I will spend the time and look at the greater world that they try to build. I really did enjoy this first episode for a couple of reasons. They took aside, I prefer when anything does. I don't like when people, you know, try to do what Donald Trump said, where they're like, there's good people on both sides. I don't like that.
they started the show and they're just like, you know, it's Watchmen. And so when it starts, you're just like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
Yep.
And then they show you and they're like, this is what happened then. And then they jump to 2019. And in that transition, there's a point when they said that Reagan had been president for 30 years. And you go, all right. If that is what happened then, and Reagan ran the country for 30 years, then what I saw with the police officer starts to line up. Because it would force strong divisions in the country. Because Reagan was nothing if not.
Yeah, Reagan created Biggie Smalls.
He was the pre-Trump. And so you go, all right. And then while they're telling the present day story and what the situation is, they point to things that happen in the Watchmen that you know, where they're just like, they show you a clip of Dr. Manhattan on the moon. And so you're like, all right, cool. They're still keeping an eye on Dr. Manhattan. There are the dimensional rift attacks where that was like, they're literally driving down the street. There's a warning, squids fall out of the sky and everyone moves on. And I go, all right. So that now means that this world is getting more and more clear. But they're like, all right. So the Watchmen things happened. There's no dimensional rift. So that's one avenue. They can't go anywhere with that. Dr. Manhattan is there, so that's another thing. So there's like two big things out there that you're like, all right, fine. These are the two super weird ends that they can take it to, and I appreciate that. And then on the ground, it's just people trying to do police work in this aggressively racist world. And they said throughout the episode, they're like, we thought we beat them fucking 3 years ago. We thought that we had crushed the movement and everything was fine. And now these people are back. So you go, all right. I now appreciate what it is they're trying to do. It's gotten to the point where they have to hide the police force. They have to pretend that they're other people. They're still superheroes. They're still Dr. Manhattan. There's dimensional shifts. And Ozymandias is still alive. And you're just like, all right, movie. So the first episode for me did what it was supposed to do. It explained it laid the groundwork for what this world is. And it also got me hyped for all of the crazy shit that can happen. No. HBO is notorious for burning me hard. There was a show before that promised me dragons. And I waited 6 fucking years. And there were no dragons.
Wasn't it more like 8 years? Like they took a year off somewhere in the middle?
In fairness though, the last 2 seasons, they gave me all the dragons I could ask for. And people were upset. But fuck you, people. And watching this, I went, I like the mix. I like the steampunk. I like the future shit. I like the fact that there's just plain clothes. There's like plain police officers. And then like superhero-ass superheroes. But because there's a nod to supernatural shit already existing. You're just like, these people might be more powerful. Or have more powers than they're letting on. And then you remember the first Watchmen, and you go, they're mostly people, but then there's people who are a little bit more, and I can't wait to see how they play with all of that. And so, all the action, as Douglas said, was good. The Game of Thrones budgets, the Game of Thrones money is doing HBO real well. They are spending a truckload of money. And so I saw the things that you pointed to, Andrew, but I actually prefer that they try to establish very quickly that this world is not our world. And these people aren't regular people. And they're like, listen, the bad guys are predictably bad, but you don't have enough information to explain why they are where they are now. Obviously, they'll get into that. I also like the fact that they have the Rorschach mask.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I can't wait to be explained to me, which is how Rorschach
became he was basically an asshole, the Joker,
right? Right. He was an asshole in the comics, and I haven't read the comics in a long time. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a movie in a long time, so I know there's a lot I've forgotten. But I don't recall him actually being a bad guy,
no,
or actually being even able to be somehow mistaken for, you know, that.
So he wasn't
white supremacist.
He wasn't,
right?
The goodest one.
No, he wasn't.
He was the one that's like, listen.
He was an asshole, but he seemed to not discriminate in how much of an asshole he was. Right. Everybody was a dick to him.
Right.
He just murdered everybody, right? Right. Is that, so am I right?
Or I look at the mask thing as just like a world thing, because, and this is also helped by the fact, I think I saw this written somewhere where like they're starting to do some external explanations as to what's going on. But also, if you remember the end of Watchmen, it ended with him, with the Rorschach was murdered.
Yes.
And he posted his book to like the news people.
Mm-hmm.
And it became apparently like the thing you're supposed to catch on to is that that is what brought him to all of these others, which is that it became a conspiracy theory shit.
Yeah.
And now these guys have taken on the mask to mean something completely different. Very much like what we were talking about with the Joker
right.
Last week, where they took the clown face to just what they wanted it to mean. Right? And took it to be their image.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I want to see them walk us through that. And I am very happy that they've set it in modern day. So they've just moved past everything.
And what I appreciate also, and you talk about this a lot,
mm-hmm.
is they are treating me like a grown adult, right? They know that they have some explaining to do. Mm-hmm. I know they have some explaining to do, but they're allowing me to wait for it. They're allowing me to sit where I am now and just say, just because you know about what came before doesn't mean you need to know what this is yet.
Right.
This is
episode one.
And I will explain to you what I need to explain. Mm-hmm. And until I do that, you can just fuck off.
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah.
This is a TV show. It said HBO when you came in here. Don't play with us. Listen, you waited 8 years for Game of Thrones to let you down. Fucking give me a day. It's been an hour and a couple of minutes. Just relax.
And I really like, what's his name? He has a double barrel name. He, in this show, has a silver mask, like Silver
yes.
Surfer.
Oh,
it's... And he is essentially, or how I'm taking him in this movie, in this TV show, is...
Tim Blake Nelson.
Legion? Yeah, Tim Blake mm-hmm. Nelson. You remember Legion?
Yes.
You remember the science guy,
mm-hmm.
Bill Nye?
Yes.
That's what I've decided Tim Blake Nelson is in this show.
Because
mm-hmm. he takes somebody in the pod, he asks them some questions, and he comes out. And you knew already, right? You knew that he was getting more information than what he was asking for.
Right.
But when he finally explains it, because right. somebody's like, yeah, you're not supposed to know that. Yeah. He says, oh, really? This is why. 1, 2, 3, 4, right. 5. You're and you're like, oh,
I like
cool.
This. Yeah. I've always appreciated the powers in Watchmen.
Yeah.
You see, they're just like...
Well, he didn't necessarily have powers.
Right, that is what I mean.
He could have, because that was a lot to perceive.
Outside of Dr. Manhattan, mm-hmm. there are no true
No real powers. Yeah.
But there's people who are more exceptional, and I appreciate that in the Watchmen series. And I'm very,
Did
very
Ozymandias
excited.
Did Ozymandias have some he was fast. Level of powers? Yeah.
Just fast.
Yeah.
Smart and fast.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, you're right.
Uncommonly smart and uncommonly fast.
I was trying
fast.
To think about his connection to the ocelot, but I don't think he really did have one.
No, he no. just liked
okay.
it.
like I mean, Watchmen as a whole was basically a criticism of comic books, right? Yep. So everybody in it was like upstanding for what DC comic books and most right. comic books were, and Manhattan was like just the standing for real powers. Yeah. Right, yeah. Superman.
He's the and, actual Superman.
And Rorschach and Night Owl were Batman and stuff yeah. like that.